on Ice Pilots NWT. A young pilot is put to the test, landing a DC-4 for the first time. A bridegroom finds an Arctic way to mark the big day. And a rookie co-pilot faces engine failure.
We are having engine issues.
Are you declaring an emergency, sir?
The Northwest Territories, Canada. 1.2 million square kilometers of unforgiving frozen tundra hugging the North Pole. Only 42,000 people live here, half of them scattered in tiny settlements over a landmass almost twice the size of Texas. For most of the year, there's only one way in or out. By air. There's an airline based in Yellowknife, unlike any other in the world. Buffalo Airways. Owned and operated by aviation legend, Buffalo Joe McBrien.
Runway 04.
He lives by that simple cowboy code. If it can be done, Joe will do it.
If it does,
he's one tough boss to please.
I would not want to be one to piss Joe off.
It's his way or the highway.
No, I'm not hard to work with. I'm hard to work for.
Buffalo Joe is a cross between Howard Hughes, James Dean, and Al Bundy from Married with Children. You put those three people together and you mix them up a little bit and you add a toque and a parka, and that's Buffalo Joe.
He may be hard to impress, but for young pilots fresh out of flight school, Joe offers the adventure of a lifetime. Only 1 in 100 recruits will survive Buffalo boot camp. And the teeth-cracking northern cold to make it to the flight deck. And those who have the right stuff get the pure adrenaline rush of flying 40,000 pounds of vintage steel.
You know, we fly some of the coolest planes, I think, in the country.
The DC-3. The DC-4. And the C-46. These big, multi-engine beasts aren't like the planes that flew in World War II. They are the planes that flew in World War II.
If you really want to fly, if you really want to experience flight in this life, then you have to strap the DC-3 to your ass. Let your wings extend out, and that's the closest thing you will come to a human flying.
This is fun flying.
Bit of an adventure. That's why all us guys are up here.
Flying something that old, that big, as your first job? Hell yeah.
First, you've got to pay your dues every day. And in the dead of winter, 5 a.m. comes dark and early. Most of Yellowknife is still asleep. But co-pilot Scott Blue is bracing himself for another minus 35 morning.
Yeah, I think the darkness can wear on you a little bit. You know, cold and dark between, you know, 3 in the afternoon and 10 in the morning. You're sleepy all the time, and sometimes you can find yourself being a little bit, you know, grumpy and not yourself.
Scott's a long way from home in Toronto,
where he parked cars for a living, before pouring everything he had into flight school. To fulfill his dream of becoming a captain, he's come north to work at Buffalo.
I'm not here in yell at, but it seems every single morning you're cleaning up a little bit of this shit, which it's fine when you're doing your car. It sort of sucks when you get to work and you have to do the whole damn plane.
Scott spent a year here busting his butt loading cargo and prepping planes before he even got a shot at the cockpit. Now, he's a rookie co-pilot, but at Buffalo, that still means doing the grunt work.
Here, it doesn't work like other places where, you know, you show up, you fly, you go home, that's all you do. Here, there's so much more involved in terms of expectations of ground help and getting the plane ready on your own and, you know, loading it yourself and de-icing it yourself and fueling it yourself.
Scott's not the only one up before dawn.
Okay, so that's 360 plus 85. That one will go, and then this one.
Cargo manager Kelly Jurasovic is figuring out how to squeeze as much freight as she can onto the plane.
Hopefully we'll make this all fit in there. And if not, they'll have to bump some stuff.
Kelly is dispatching food and supplies on a 1,700-kilometer run up the Mackenzie Valley to four isolated settlements. Delaney, Fort Good Hope, Norman Wells, and Toledo.
It usually goes between three and five times a week. Its main purpose is to deliver fresh goods because these communities don't have permanent roads. And basically, their permanent road is the C-46.
You're going to kill me. It's hard to try to keep everybody happy when, you know, you're dealing with four communities. It's difficult.
Getting vital supplies to where they're needed takes a lot of juggling and a little bit of sweet-talking.
When the other pilots get a load, I'll have maybe, you know, 13 skids. Scott will get stuck with 20. I have to be nice to him.
I got a love you, Scott, thing on here. Because all this crap has to fit on here. There's enough space here for about 14 pallets, and then there's 20 coming. So, I don't know, it's just going to be a pretty tight plane.
Nothing in flight school prepared Scott for this.
He loves me. Not.
If you're going to go straight out of flight school and get onto a 65-year-old, 48,000-pound twin-engine beast, you got to do a little bit of, you know, not-so-fun stuff.
Scott's training on the C-46, a World War II U.S. Air Force piston pounder.
It's just unique. Like, when I first saw it in Hay River, when I got here, and I was standing there, and the thing lands, I'm like, what the hell is that?
They're made of an aluminum alloy. It's very strong, non-corrosive. They're almost indestructible.
The big, bulky C-46 is the toughest plane to fly in Buffalo's fleet, so pilots usually start training on the smaller DC-3. But Scott has no choice. At 6'7", he's just too big for any other cockpit.
Ballerina, eh? I first got here from down south. I tried to squeeze myself into a DC-3 in Hay River. Did not fit. So I was like, okay, well, is this going to work? Like, can I stick it out here and fly something else? Next morning, came over to Yellowknife. They actually let me fly my first morning for about 20 minutes across the lake, which was kind of cool, kind of surprised by that. And it was in the C-46, and it fit.
So far, he's hanging in there. But being limited to the C-46 limits his flight time and paychecks. Today, he's not even flying. And with about 500 hours logged, he has a long way to go to the 2,700 he needs to qualify for captain. If Scott's dreams are going to get off the ground, he needs a lot more hours in the air.
The airport here, just down the road to pick up Alex Wagner.
Even though he's just arrived, new recruit Alex Wagner is already on the fast track.
He's going to be the newest DC-4 pilot who's coming in the train, and hopefully he turns out pretty good.
With 5,000 flying hours on a variety of aircraft, Alex is formidable competition for less experienced pilots like Scott Blue.
Well, I could be flying an airline, and there's been a lot of hiring the last few years on that. And I thought about it. It'd be nice, but that's not my style. And I want to fly the DC-4.
Designed in the 1930s, only a few dozen DC-4s are still in operation. There's no plastic, no microchips, no auto anything on these old warhorses. Rarely does a pilot today get to fly such a massive, multi-engine plane with no electronic assistance.
I just like to fly machines. I don't want to be flying computers. I want to have my hands in the control and fly something where you really need a pilot on board.
Because if you're flying a 50,000-pound anti-aircraft, four engines, that's just great.
Coming into Buffalo area is excited and eager, maybe a detriment. That happiness or that eagerness wears off quite quickly.
Alex looks good on paper, but how will he measure up at Buffalo?
God, there's been a lot of people that can't handle this job in that quick day, like lots of people.
There's all sorts of stories about guys leaving in the middle of the night. Where's Bob? I don't know. His car's gone. His bedroom's cleared out. He's just disappeared, you know?
I had a guy here this fall. He arrived here on a Saturday morning, left Sunday noon. He laughed. He said, boy, this sure ain't for me.
To survive here, Alex will have to prove that he's Buffalo material. And he'll get that chance sooner than he thinks. Still to come.
You hear that backfire, Scott? I think it came from this side.
Co-pilot Scott Blue finally gets in the air, but he'll wish he hadn't.
A little bit of smoke popping out of the exhaust, black smoke.
Another cracking cold morning in Yellowknife. Balanced 15 feet up in the pre-dawn darkness, new hire Alex Wagner preps a big DC-4 for startup.
Dealing with the cold would be the harshest part, actually.
Even though he's used to wicked Quebec winters, Alex is still trying to get acclimatized to Yellowknife's deep freeze.
If you ever get cold while brushing the wing, don't worry. Probably the exposure of slipping off the wing will actually get your heart rate going up and a bit of a little adrenaline shot there.
Just a week ago, a rookie slid off, broke his arm, and quit on the spot.
Everybody's supposed to fall once at least. That's what they say. Haven't fallen yet, but...
Alex is hoping to start training on the big DC-4, which is worlds away from the planes he's used to. This 20-ton aircraft has four 1,500-horsepower Pratt & Whitney engines, a 36-meter wingspan, and cruises at about 365 kilometers per hour. Today, he's getting the chance to step closer to his dream. Chief Pilot Arnie Schrader and co-pilot Dan Cattoni have invited him to ride along.
We told him, come on, we'd throw him in the DC-4 and start getting him trained, just to get him used to the airplane.
Okay, let's get out of here.
They're headed north to Coppermine with a load of building supplies.
Straight ahead for a bit.
Alex studies how Arnie and Dan handle the plane.
I'll be okay. We're 95 or 85. Flaps up and pitch down.
He's got to pick things up fast because Arnie has a surprise in store.
If you want to switch seats, that's fine.
All in again? Yep. No.
He gives Alex the co-pilot seat and hands over control of the plane. This DC-4 goes back almost 70 years. With a range of almost 7,000 kilometers, it was intended to be the first pressurized transatlantic passenger plane. But those lofty goals fell to earth with World War II, and the DC-4 was converted into the Skymaster, a big troop and armaments hauler. It was back to basics.
There are no simulators for these airplanes, so you can't teach them how to fly it. With a simulator, you have to actually let them fly the airplane.
As chief pilot, Arnie oversees all the trainees at Buffalo.
they can handle these airplanes, handle anything they ever run into.
Well, that's, you know, bringing them up the ladder, keeping them on track, keeping them alive, you know, in a very tough environment. It's a lot of winter ops here, so they're learning as they go. So my responsibility is to keep them safe.
It doesn't take long for Arnie to know what kind of pilot you are. He's seen a lot of pilots.
There's nothing automated in this airplane. We have to do everything physically with throttles, props, and so on. It's not like an airliner where you get in the air, you can punch three buttons, and the airplane flies itself for the remainder of the trip.
With Alex getting comfortable in the cockpit, Arnie eases off power on one engine just to test him.
Which engine's failing?
Number three.
And you can see that,
yep,
by the manifold pressure.
Manifold, yeah. And you can feel it. You can feel the drag on the right.
You can feel the drag, yeah.
Alex has passed the first test, so Arnie plans to take him to the next level.
Well, you wouldn't realize how heavy it is until you land it when you start to round out.
Landing and taking off is one of the most difficult things you do. That's, you know, put them right into it, let them do it. Just all airplanes land the same. You just have to get the feel of that airplane.
It will be Alex's moment to prove himself. On the return leg to Yellowknife, he's going to do something he's never done before. Land the DC-4. In Yellowknife, co-pilot Scott Blue is back on the ramp, prepping a C-46 for another supply run up the valley. And today, he's going to fly. Warmer weather has brought more humidity and fog, and the threat of icing on the wings and props.
Start building up a lot of icing, you're going to get in trouble pretty fast. So you have to take it seriously. You're talking about your life, anybody else's on the plane lives, and the aircraft itself. So you have to take icing seriously.
The captain on the C-46 is A.J. DeCoste.
A.J. started off at the very bottom, but A.J.'s work ethics helped him move up in the Buffalo ladder of responsibilities.
Very first time I ever tried to take off in the C-46, as we started rolling down the runway, it started to go left a little bit, so I applied right rudder. By the time it was going too far right, I had the left rudder, but it was still going right. So we ended up basically taking out a couple runway lights.
Before boarding the plane, AJ gives the exterior a thorough inspection.
You can see where some of the paint is missing along here, where ice has actually been thrown from the propeller in flight and hit the side of the fuselage. It's like a gunshot. It's very loud. If you're not expecting it, it's kind of scary, actually.
I'm going to try to get this shit off of here. I'm just going to pick up more of it with this freezing fog. But it's only on the ground here. 200 feet up, it's blue sky.
Everything is set to go. They fire up the engines and taxi out to do a run-up.
Very good to dash on the right. There shouldn't be any conflict. Okay.
It looks like Scott will actually get some much-needed flying hours today.
803 tower line up at the threshold, runway 27.
And
it'll tell
you, we're just
going to
need a couple of seconds here, if that's okay.
Yep, that's fine.
But AJ decides to turn back.
A little bit of a vibration coming from the right engine.
It appears to be a timing problem.
On the right engine, there's two mags, and one of the mags is not working very well. So mechanics are going to go get the tools, and we'll chip away and fix the problem.
A look by a mechanic, and it appears this isn't a quick fix. Scott won't be flying today after all. But the unexpected downtime gives AJ the chance to take care of some important personal business, and Scott tags along. AJ's checking out an extraordinary Yellowknife landmark, the location for his upcoming wedding. This is the Ice Castle. Every winter, Snow King Tony Foliot builds this impressive structure from scratch, using only ice and snow.
There's no cooler place to get married than the Snow King's castle.
You can either walk that way or this way, it doesn't make a difference.
Okay.
You get married March. All my family's coming up here. Pretty excited about getting everything organized.
Originally from Nova Scotia, AJ and his Winnipeg-raised fiancée Candace have fallen in love with the North.
Hold on tight.
AJ proposed on April Fool's Day. I assume that it wasn't a joke, though. AJ isn't really one to have secrets or big surprises. He basically bought the ring and proposed within, I think, an hour. Like, he didn't waste any time at all. He brought home flowers and got down on one knee and proposed, so it's nice.
I was a pilot before I ever met her. I was actually flying the C-46 before I ever met her, so she knows all my stories and she knows what it is I do and she knows I enjoy it.
Yeah, I think when you are dating somebody from Buffalo, you definitely are looking at marrying into the company because it is a lifestyle.
So this here is a big room,
great hall. All your guests can stay up here, like here.
Yeah.
So this here you could use as a honeymoon suite if you like.
Yeah, this is pretty awesome, man. I've never seen an igloo before.
Crawl in there, crawl in there.
You can stand right up in here. Maybe not Scott.
It just even feels warmer in here.
Yeah. Now, I got some plastic flowers that we could put around. Like, the real flowers don't last.
Because I guess the real flowers are just sort of like slowly just
melted. Oh, they die just right away, I think, eh? Thanks.
Nice to meet you, Tony. See you. We'll see you soon.
Before he walks down that icy aisle, AJ still has many flights in harsh winter conditions ahead.
Sometimes those planes are kind of a bumpy ride.
She probably worries a little bit, yeah, I don't know. I never asked her about that.
It's scary sometimes. It's very scary.
Coming up.
There she goes again. Yeah.
AJ and Scott battle serious engine problems on the C-46. It's new co-pilot Alex Wagner's moment of truth. He's never flown a massive four-engine propeller plane like this DC-4 before. But Buffalo Airways chief pilot Arnie Schrader is giving him a shot at it.
Yeah.
And now is the crucial test. Landing.
Okay, we're coming up at 10. I'm going to just give you a little flap just so you get the feel of it.
Yep.
I'll give you 10.
On approach, there's a hard turn, and controlling airspeed is critical.
Yeah, that'll get you.
If Alex is going too fast, he won't be able to land safely. Too slow, and he'll stall the plane and could drop like a stone.
Start my turn, more or less now.
We started too quick.
Tick.
You're at 95. I'm just trying to keep your speed up.
Yep.
You can gradually start it. Not too steep, though. Keep that nose down.
Yep.
Never pull on it.
Yep.
I had the chance to do a lot of tests through my flying career, but the first ones are usually pretty nerve-wracking.
Airspeed, wind direction, rate of descent, pitch of the plane. Alex has to keep everything in check.
A little bit forward on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex only flown light airplanes, so the DC-4 is a lot heavier when you round out and stuff.
Okay, push the nose down. Now bring the nose level. You got to hold the nose wheel off. Hold the nose wheel off. There's the attitude. There you go. Now just let the nose down.
It took some last-second adjustments, but Alex pulled it off. A smooth DC-4 landing on his very first attempt.
Okay, I have control.
You have controls.
Flaps down?
Flaps up.
Yeah, don't touch anything. I got them already.
Good.
I just didn't want you to actually bring the gear up.
Yeah, no, boy, I agree. Inverter.
I got it off.
We had practice, but I didn't have it too much trouble the way it was flown.
It's just a matter of flying it a little bit, and it won't be any problem.
Bring it on.
Across the tarmac, it's the best part of the day for company president Joe McBrien. Passengers board Buffalo Joe's twin-engine DC-3 for his evening flight to Hay River.
We're the only operator in the world who operates these Douglas DC-3s as a scheduled passenger service.
That daily run, called the Sked, carries passengers and courier cargo 200 kilometers to Yellowknife in the morning and back to Hay River at the end of the day. The Sked is the backbone of Buffalo Airways operation, and it's Joe's baby.
Hello, Sheila, get your haircut.
No pictures!
That's Joe's thing, that's Joe's Sked, and that's what Joe does.
And it's Joe's son Mikey's job to make sure it runs smoothly.
Mikey, here. Hey, Sandra.
Mikey does exactly what nobody else does. The rest of us focus, like hyper-focus, and maybe are not that good at multitasking or even looking at the big picture.
I don't work at Buffalo Airways. I live at Buffalo Airways.
Mikey grew up in the Buffalo hangar.
But be sure and put this one back, see?
Now he's learning to run the company under the demanding eye of his father. And it isn't always easy.
You went to school, you go look at that file, and you tell me if it makes any sense at all.
Everybody here's been fired at least once. I've been fired on 3 occasions.
Everybody can do it, but who's doing it?
He rags on me pretty hard. Yeah, it hurts, but yeah, you get used to it.
On the ramp, the ground crew loads guaranteed overnight cargo onto the Sked. It must get to a connecting flight in Hay River by 8 p.m. With a scheduled 5 o'clock departure and a 50-minute flight, there should be plenty of time. As the Sked taxis to the runway, Mikey starts shutting down the hangar for the night.
I literally was on my way out of the door, right? DC-3's taken off.
But there's a problem with the plane. Joe doesn't take off. He steers back to the hangar. The Buffalo staff hit the tarmac to find out what's wrong. This DC-3 is powered by 2 Pratt & Whitney radial piston engines developed in the 1930s. At takeoff, these air-cooled engines deliver over 2,400 horsepower. But tonight, one of them isn't delivering. The passengers deplane to the waiting room.
When Joe comes out of that plane, he's already got in his mind of what he has to do to fix the problem.
So we got to get the people in and get the freight. So whatever we have to do, we'll do it.
The crew sprints into action.
This is going to be one long-ass night.
Engineer Adam Smith spots the problem.
I think we got a sheet prop governor. It won't let it go past 2300 RPM on takeoff.
There's no way this will get fixed in time for Joe to meet the connecting flight in Hay River. He needs a plan B.
Is that airplane fueled up?
He's like a general off in the war. He's got a mission.
Mikey is supposed to have a backup DC-3 ready at all times. But not only is it sitting frozen on the tarmac...
That's a big aluminum block sitting in this harsh, cold weather.
It doesn't even have passenger seats in it.
She's configured right now for freight, and we gotta make her ready for passengers.
But when his father gets a look at it...
This airplane is a hell of a mess. All right, well, let me stop
asking. Okay, get somebody in there and clean that shit out of that cockpit. It's filthy, and the back end's filthy, eh? The airplane's not prepared.
Tomorrow, when the smoke clears, we're going to see what actually happened. It's going to be hell to pay, guaranteed.
If Mikey can't redeem himself and get Joe in the air, it's not going to be pretty. Still ahead. Pilots AJ and Scott finally get the C-46 off the ground, and things turn downright ugly.
Got a nasty shake. Checking on number 2 engine.
A mechanical problem has grounded Buffalo Joe McBrien's Sked flight. But the backup DC-3 his son Mikey was supposed to have ready on standby is nowhere near ready. And Joe is furious.
The airplane's a hell of a mess.
All right, do you want to get some clothes ready and come out here so you give us a hand?
Now, Mikey has just 35 minutes to get the plane airworthy and Joe off the ground in order to meet the 8 o'clock connection in Hay River.
We had to convert technically a freight airplane into a passenger airplane with no notice.
Job one, install 28 seats. Then there's the issue of heating the minus 30 interior.
The one thing about the DC-3 is it's not pressurized, it's not airtight. There's a million little holes in that little thing there. So we got to figure out how to put a curtain in to hold the heat in. That's a rear one, huh?
Yeah. No, this one is the one I want first.
The only thing that keeps you warm is these curtains that cover up the main hole, which is the door.
Definitely, it's emergency, but tomorrow, when the smoke clears, it's going to be hell to pay, guaranteed. It's probably going to be my fault.
The passengers don't care whose fault it is. They just want to get on their way.
I think they said about a 40-minute delay about an hour ago.
You'll get the freight on board because everything to do with this freight has a deadline.
If Joe doesn't get this DC-3 in the air in the next 15 minutes, he's going to miss his cargo connection. And Mikey will be in a load of trouble.
All he's doing is showing me that stuff like this happens and you gotta deal with it.
Yeah, load him up. I'm gone. Yeah, I'll go right over here.
Thanks for your patience, folks.
All done, but they're close to the wire. Takeoff must now go perfectly for Joe to make Hay River in time.
Holy smokes.
Inside the hangar, Mikey anxiously awaits word from his father.
Go ahead, LFR.
We're going to be here by 8 o'clock.
A huge relief, but Mikey's not quite out of the doghouse.
We've got to do some serious consideration whether we want to do this again. The airplane was not at all prepared.
Copy.
Mikey can't let something like this happen again. The next morning, engineer Adam Smith works to get AJ and Scott's C-46 back in service.
Yeah, it's louder with that new prop.
The right engine was running rough, so Adam is replacing the magneto.
I've got the old mag that I removed from the airplane. This is the new mag going on.
The magneto controls the timing of the sparks in each cylinder of this 18-cylinder Pratt & Whitney engine. Even a slight flaw in timing can cause combustion with the valves open, resulting in rough running and backfiring.
That's it. Goddamn pilots leaving the goddamn switches on.
Scott's dying to get some flying time, but Adam still needs to put the new mag through its paces.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to wait for all my temperatures to come up. In the cold, metal gets more brittle. It's more brittle, you're more likely to crack cylinders, low oil coolers, seals will fail. It's an art form running them in the winter.
It takes tender, loving care from everyone to keep Buffalo's vintage prop liners going. Scott's anxious to get flying the only plane his 6'7" frame fits into.
Well, it's good to go. Shut her down, let the pilots take her. Just gotta do a little paperwork.
Locked, loaded, and finally ready to go, Scott and AJ taxi out.
Buffalo 328, backtrack in line up runway 09. You'll be number 2 for departure. Report ready after
23, backtracking for departure, runway 09. Call your runway, please.
only in the air in the C-46. But before this day is through, his ability to stay cool under extreme pressure will face the test of a lifetime. Scott and AJ are on a milk run flying food and cargo up the Mackenzie Valley in Buffalo's vintage C-46.
Fun plane, it's a challenge. It can be quite frustrating, just temperamental, but I like it.
The C-46 is the ideal plane for the Valley Run, able to take off and land on small airstrips. And it can carry a massive payload. Up here, it's like an airborne 18-wheeler. Only a handful of C-46s in the world are still operating.
I ended up here because I'm a nostalgic aviation, anything with an engine geek. I don't know, there's just something about these old tanks that intrigues me. Like, how much longer are they going to be flying? I mean, yeah, they've been saying that for 30 years now and they're still going, but this is the end of an era, I think.
Back in World War II, Curtiss Wright built the 46 with a glass dome enclosing the cockpit, a useful feature for wartime conditions. The plane was overbuilt for war with powerful engines, few windows, and enlarged cargo doors. So far, their supply run up the Mackenzie Valley seems to be going smoothly. But up here in the north, that can change in a heartbeat.
Wendy up here today. This fucking giver, man, we'll go up to 45. Charge of that.
AJ notices something else.
Get used to the normal running sound of the engines, and you can tell when one of them is not quite up to snuff. Kind of a heightened sense of awareness, watching for the gauges to see if there's any indication that we're going to have a major malfunction on the engine.
And the right, or number two engine, doesn't sound good.
The engine actually had was running a little bit rough there for about a little bit less than a minute, so we're just keeping extra diligent lookout here on our engine instruments.
It's the same engine that had the magneto problem earlier.
You know, when things start breaking down up here, they have a trend of everything happening at once.
On their way back home, just 180 kilometers from Yellowknife, things turn ugly. The right engine starts backfiring.
Hear that backfiring, Scott?
I think it came from this side.
Yeah, control. Take a look out there. He's definitely running around. Yeah, we have to shut it down. Definitely not giving much fun here. There
it
goes again. Yeah.
The backfiring is so bad that it rocks the plane.
Got a nasty shake.
When it backfires and shakes, there's other things that can then break on the engine because you're putting a lot of extra stress on some of the parts.
Does it look like it's shaking out there, Scott? Yep.
If they let the number two engine run this rough, the vibrations could literally tear the wing off this shuddering plane.
We're going to have to shut down the number two engine. It's backfiring too much. That's too rough. Worried something's going to happen here.
AJ initiates a shutdown of the right engine.
Confirm number two. Number two prop. Confirm number two. Number two mixture. Confirm number two. Number two feather.
It's slowing down.
But for some reason, the propeller isn't feathering properly.
Revolutions are consistent.
Feathering means rotating the pitch of the propeller blades so that they're parallel to the airflow.
And if it's feathered, it's not moving, the engine's not moving, lowest amount of drag, no wear tear on the engine, best way to bring it home.
But it doesn't work.
It's not feathered. Danny's, I don't know why that thing's not feathering. We'll try it again here. Still spinning, AJ. It's still turning, eh? Still turning. Not shut down. You bitch.
Scott spots more trouble.
A little bit of smoke popping out of the exhaust. Black smoke.
With one good engine and one crappy engine, that won't feather.
At DC-4, if it started to do that, then they would shut the engine down right away.
So right now, there's very little else we can do except limp her home. Cross our fingers.
AJ and Scott start their approach to Yellowknife, where there's more bad news.
Weather in Yellowknife is not the greatest right now.
The cloud cover is low, just 100 meters above the runway.
The runway 15 back course, and we are having an engine issue.
Are you declaring an emergency, sir?
Get priority for landing.
A faltering engine that won't shut down is rocking pilots A.J. DeCoste and Scott Blue as they try to get their shuttering C-46 cargo plane safely onto the runway in Yellowknife.
4615, request priority landing sequence.
When they break through the cloud cover, they'll have just seconds to find the runway.
You have to make sure that your approach is the first one's a good one because you don't really want to overshoot.
They're down to 1,000.
With only one good engine, they'll have just one chance at the landing. They won't have the power to climb back for another approach.
You don't have a lot of room for error.
Okay, I'll be honest.
It's going to be a bumpy approach.
This is where their training kicks in. There's no time for emotion. They need to focus on getting safely onto the ground. Clearing the clouds, they find themselves offline, with the runway approaching fast.
On the right. What do you got? On the right.
You got the runway?
Yeah, full flap. Full flap coming.
AJ pulls full flap.
Full flap, sir.
He'll have to drop into position quickly to try and nail the landing.
Finals are done. 100.
A very tough landing, under extremely difficult conditions. Yet AJ and Scott pull it off superbly.
You know, they say like the pilot's life is hours of boredom, punctuated by moments of sheer terror, eh?
There's so many different things that you're wondering about. Once you're on the ground, all that stuff is gone. It's just like someone just pulled, you know, 100 pounds off your back or whatever.
Both me and Scott have been shaking a little bit there. You can notice whenever you move to move something, you notice.
Yeah, it was just sort of, you know, we're calm, we're cool, we're talking fine, you know what I mean? But the body is naturally, you know, your brain's not dumb, your body's not dumb. It knows this isn't a great spot to be in, guys.
So it'll be a couple weeks before I'm completely back to normal, I would think.
AJ and Scott talk it through as they put the plane to bed.
I don't know if one mag was, like, working 100%, I don't think it'd be that shaky myself, but... Maybe it was something else, too.
Yeah, no, it's for sure the one.
You don't usually forget who it was you're with when you have some sort of problem with the airplane. So, yeah, it's a bonding experience.
I think that's a lot of the reason why I was, you know, I never freaked out once, you know, in the plane. I never lost it, you know. I had full faith in who was sitting next to me.
It's the end of the week. There's no trip scheduled for tomorrow, so...
Gives you a lot of confidence in the person you're with. If they didn't make any mistakes and they did everything you wanted them to, then... The next time, you're probably going to be a little bit less nervous than you were, you know, that time.
Scott just wanted a little flying time, but in the end, he got much more. The chance to prove himself cool under pressure in the eyes of his captain.
All right, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, good work.
Absolutely.
See you later, eh?
Yeah.
AJ and Scott are home safe.
It was like, you know, gold jumping like that a little bit. And same thing with the RPM, was wandering a little bit.
Though AJ might downplay the story to his fiancé. But the challenges of keeping Buffalo flying this winter are just beginning. Next time on Ice Pilots NWT.
Okay, AJ, crank it over.
With Christmas just around the corner.
It's absolute crunch time.
Buffalo's supply runs are a crucial lifeline to the north.
Officer, get the groceries on the shelf.
But engine problems on the C-46 aircraft wreak havoc on the deliveries.
Usually the propeller will move, but because the engine is so cold, this thing right now would never start.
And tensions reach a peak.
Don't fly the plane,